conversation with him. I should probably take the knife back if we're going to do this captive thing right. He gets it out and hands it to me handle first.
Try not to cut me, he pauses. Unless you think Kira will like to play nursemaid.
I sincerely doubt that, I say, moving behind him and putting the knife in place as the others trail up the ridge. It's a fairly large group, and I see Kira, along with Vectol, Georgie, and a few other male aliens. And Vectol has a furious look on his face. I keep my chin lifted and stare him in the eye. I won't let anyone boss me around anymore. It's my life, and Rahash is my mate. They can't keep him from me anymore, and vice versa.
You are quite the burr in my tail, Liz, Vectol says as he approaches. Is your goal to anger me so greatly that I cast you out? Because it won't happen. You are a woman and a child-bearer.
I'm kidnapping someone, I say, and gesture with the knife at Ihako's back. That's the punishment for kidnapping, right? Exile? So exile me. The chief of the aliens narrows his eyes at me. He crosses his arms.
Your situation is different.
Oh, are we throwing situation into the mix? What about if I was resonating to Ihako and I kidnapped him? Would you still let me stay in the caves because I have a vagina? He frowns and looks over at Georgie.
The shy?
She pinches the bridge of her nose. Girl parts. She's referring to her girl parts. Liz, what the hell is your problem?
I want my mate back, I bellow. That's my fucking problem. If he can't come back to the caves, then send me with him.
You would leave the comfort of the tribe behind,
Vectol asks, and he's not pissed anymore. He just seems weary, like I've exhausted him. Good. It's not my tribe. For some reason, I suddenly feel as tired as Vectol seems. Tired and just sad. You guys forget that about 6 weeks ago, I had an entirely different life. Then I'm captured by aliens and no one asks me anything. They don't say, hey, Liz, how do you feel about being sold as meat or a slave? You cool with that? Georgie rolls her eyes, but I continue. Then we land here, and again I'm captured by aliens. And again I'm told what my fate is going to be, except this time it's wife and baby maker. No one asks if Liz wants kids. No one asks if Georgie does. No one asks us anything. My voice trembles a little. I hate that I'm still emotional over all this shit. But we go along with it. And I meet Rahash, and at first I can't fucking stand the guy, right? But then as time goes on, I realize that he's just trying to take care of me the best way he knows how. And when I stop being so irritated with him, I realize that I like him. He's smart and caring and determined. And then I fall in love with him. And then, boom, you take him away from me again. I swallow hard around the knot in my throat. He's home to me now. So yeah, I would leave everything behind for him. He's mine and I'm his. You do it for Georgie. I'm doing it for him. Vectol sighs again, but there's a hint of a smile and a shimmer of tears in Georgie's eyes. She understands even if her mate doesn't. He looks over at her and his expression softens. He pulls his mate against him and tucks her under his arm. Perhaps imagining himself in Rahash's place.
There must be rules, Vectol says again. There must be punishment.
Make him live with Liz, jokes Ihako. That's enough punishment for anyone.
I don't even protest that one. Vectol rubs his chin.
I shall think on what you say, Liz, and I shall discuss Rahash with the elders. It is ultimately my decision, but I shall think on this.
I have things to say, too, Georgie murmurs and puts a hand on his arm. His expression softens as he looks down at his mate and nods.
We will talk as well.
He turns to the man standing in front of me.
Ihako, get the hunters and find Rahash and bring him back. We will talk.
Ihako lifts his chin and nods in my direction.
I'm being held captive.
Whoops, sorry. I hand him back his knife. You're free to go and stuff. He grabs me and pulls me against him and ruffles my hair like a big brother.
That was a good idea, he murmurs in my ear before he releases me.
Then Georgie steps forward and takes my arm. Come on. We are not taking our eyes off you for another minute. She peers past me to her mate. And hide your knives, Vectol. I'm waiting impatiently in the caverns for what feels like hours, days even. Since I've proven that I can't be trusted, two men are posted at the entrance to the Bachelorette Caves, both mated males who won't be swayed by any of the human charms, I suppose. Tiffany has managed to make a pair of knitting needles out of bones, so I take the extras and make arrows. Even though I'm not allowed to hunt, which is bullshit, I can at least do what I'm good at, and that's make weapons. It's either that, or go stir-crazy waiting. I'm not allowed knives, of course, so I can't do much more than select good arrows and then rub the heads against a rough rock, sharpening it like a pencil. Vectol's been in his cave all day, and I've been told a few people have gone in and out. Georgie's been gone, too. So have Ihako and his group. Not that I'm worried or anything, but what if they can't find Rahash? What if he's so tired and hungry that he's been careless and hurt himself? My mind is full of worry. I don't know what I'll do if I lose him. There's a commotion at the front of the caves, and I hear the sounds of voices rising. I immediately fling down my arrows and run to the front of the Bachelorette Cave in the hopes of seeing a familiar head with one horn and a broken stump where the other used to be. Rahash?
Stay back,
says one of the aliens guarding the cave. His name is Dagesh. Nora's mate, I think, and he watches me like I'm a snake. I guess he worries my obnoxiousness is going to be catching. Either that, or he's heard that I was mean to Stacy and is worried I'll pounce on his mate next. Oh well. Sometimes you have to break a few eggs and all that. But then a large figure appears in the doorway and pushes the men aside, and I can't help the girlish squeal of delight that escapes me when Rahash sweeps me into his arms. You're here, I cry, and wrap my arms and legs around him like a monkey. He grabs me and holds me tight against him, and then we're kissing wildly, my hips settling against his as I cling to him. My cootie hums a happy song, and I can feel his in his chest. And I can also feel the woody he's sporting in his breechcloth. Damn, I miss this man.
You are crazy, my mate,
Rahash says in a low voice, even as he presses his mouth to mine over and over again, unable to stop kissing me. Hey, it got results, didn't it? You're here. And now that my arms are around him, I'm never letting go again. He holds me close, and our chests resonate in a mixed song. To think that I fought this just a few weeks ago. I feel complete with him. I might not have known what good taste my cootie has, but thank goodness for it.
Come, Dagesh says, and he glances toward the main cavern. Vectol will talk with you both about your punishments.
Oh dear. I hear the plural in that statement, and it worries me. But I nod, and continue clinging to Rahash. They're going to have to pry me off of him if they intend on separating us again. My mate only chuckles and his hands go to my ass, cupping it and carrying me into the main cavern with him. A few ripples of laughter meet our entrance. I don't care. Let them laugh. I press my cheek to Rahash's warm chest, hearing his cootie resonate to mine. Please be fair, I say silently to Vectol. Please let Georgie have given you the world's greatest prostate tickle and convinced you that Rahash and I need to be together. There's a crowd in the main cavern, and the air feels redolent with sulfur and humidity. We pass by a few people, and then Rahash reluctantly sets me down. I hold my breath, tension vibrating through me. I'm terrified of what's going to happen. If we get a no at this point, I don't think we'll ever be able to convince Vectol that we should be together. People are everywhere in the main cavern, a few lounging in the pool, but more clustered at cave entrances and seated off to the side. There, sitting on the steps that I've come to think of as his chief hangout, is Vectol. He's seated between Georgie's legs, his big arms resting on her knees. His pose is casual, though the look on his face is solemn. Georgie's face is equally emotionless, though when she meets my eyes, she winks. And I stop holding my breath. Everything's going to be okay.
Rahash, son of Vashon, you have broken the laws of this tribe.
Vectol gets to his feet and clasps his hands behind his back, pacing. I stiffen and my hand goes to Rahash's. He clutches it tightly. This doesn't sound promising.
Normally the endangerment of another's life would be exile. However, the humans are not familiar with our ways, nor are we familiar with theirs.
Agreed, mutters Ihako.
Vectol continues with a stern look over at the hunter, then turns back to us.
The resonance can affect both parties in ways unexpected, and this is what has been decided in this case. Both of you were mindless to your qui, and thus that must be factored in as well.
My death grip eases on Rahash's hand, just a little.
You and your mate will be exiled to the Hunter Caves. For the next 2.5 years, or until your kit arrives, you must remain out on the hunt for 7 days to everyone. You must bring enough meat to feed the tribe and fill the ice storerooms for 2 of the brutal seasons. Our numbers have grown, but our number of hunters has not, and this will be more important than ever.
He levels a firm gaze at us.
You will have no family cave until your punishment has been removed. Should you endanger the lives of another tribe's mate at any time, exile will once more become permanent.
Rahash exhales through his nostrils. He nods slowly.
Thank you, my chief.
So what does this mean? I ask, trying not to sound excited.
It means you will be out hunting more than you will be here in the caves, Vektal says.
Really? Both of us hunting? Vektal nods.
You say you wish to hunt. We shall treat you like a hunter. We will do the same for any other woman that wishes to contribute. Georgie and I have discussed many things this afternoon. Just because it is the Sakwi way does not mean that it is necessarily the human way, and we cannot force you to be Sakwi women.
Georgie has a pleased smile on her face.
We will work hard to feed the tribe,
Rahash says in a hushed voice.
Thank you again, my friend.
Vektal nods, and the stern chief expression leaves his face. He moves forward and clasps Rahash in a hug that surprises my mate.
Welcome back, my friend,
he murmurs. Then he smacks Rahash on the back with a staggering bro hit, and both are grinning.
You have tonight to prepare. Tomorrow, you and your mate begin your work.
So we're good? I ask. I hold my breath again just in case I'm misinterpreting this. I get my man. I get to hunt. I get out of these crowded caves, and we get to be us again. I mean, it'll be a lot of work, but I like hunting.
We are good, Vektal says.
This is awesome. I squeal and jump into Rahash's arms again.
All right, Georgie says as we survey the storage area in the back of one of the new dens.
This is Ariana's cave that she shares with Zolaya, and it used to be storage. Unfortunately for poor Ariana, there's still a lot of storage around the walls of the cave. Let's get you prepped for hunting so you can be on your way in the morning. At our side, Kira makes a soft sound. I'll be sad to see you go, Liz. I liked having you back. I'll be back again soon enough, I tell her. Truth is, I'm excited. I'm ready to be out with Rahash again in the snow and sun, hunting and loving and exploring and, well, just enjoying life. I survey the piles of furs, the baskets of dried leathers, bones, and anything else that might be deemed useful. My mind isn't on hunting at all. It's on Rahash. I just feel so happy. My mate is talking with Vektal in the chief's den, and I'm getting geared up. Tonight we sleep in the hunter's cave along with all the other hunters. In the morning, we take off. This feels like Christmas. And I suspect I have Georgie to thank for all of this. She had to have softened up Vektal for me. So instead of grabbing gear, I turn to my fellow human and fling my arms around her in a hug. She laughs and pats my back. What was that for? That was a thank you for fixing things. I didn't do anything special, she demurs. You forget. Rahash is his friend, too. I just reminded him of how different our societies are. Uh-huh. Well, if she doesn't want to admit some persuasive lovin', I'm not going to force her to. I give her one last happy squeeze, then hug Kira, whose sad face is smiling for a change. I feel suspiciously weepy. Happy, but weepy. I turn to the pile of storage. What do you think I need? One of everything warm? Georgie pulls out a basket of old leathers and starts to dig through it. Where do you think you guys will go first? Any ideas? Vektal says that there's tons of hunter caves scattered for miles around. They have a system, and since the hunters stay out in the field a lot, they're all set up like mini houses with firewood and blankets and stuff. I consider for a moment. If it's up to me, I want to go to the old ship. The one that their people came from? I'd like the language dump, I think. I'm tired of everyone talking around me. I want to be part of things. I like that idea, Kira says. I might see if I can head there myself at some point. Oh? I turn to her. What about the earpiece? She touches it with a grimace. I hate it. I want it gone. Plus, I worry that they'll come back for it if they find it still active. Kira has a point. I know she can't remove it, They'd surgically attached it to her ear. I didn't realize how much it bothers her, though. We continue to chat as we prepare a pack for me full of essentials, a sewing kit, some extra cord, dried soaps, warm boots and leather cloaks, and then there's nothing left to do but say goodbye to my friends. Kira's expression is sad. I wish I had some sort of newlywed advice to give, Kira says. I feel like it'd be appropriate. Georgie's expression turns, well, a bit like a cat who's licking the cream. I've got some advice for you. Oh, I ask. You want to blow his mind? Two words for you. She ticks them off on her fingers. Doggy style. My eyes widen. But the spur will go. When she nods slowly, Kira gapes. Oh, I breathe. You are a filthy, filthy girl, Georgie. A filthy girl with a happy mate, she says. Can't argue with that. The rest of the day runs away from me. There's preparation to be done, weapons to be checked over and repaired before we go back into the field, clothing to be mended, people to hug, and Malak is determined to send us with every kind of healing herb she has, along with an explanation in case we need anything. Hunters, Georgie explains to me as she translates, are used to going without, but because Rahash and I will be a team, and I'm pregnant, everyone wants to make sure we're well prepared. Before I know it, dinner is over, and then Rahash comes to collect me from my friends who have been fitting me for new tunics. Apparently there's a lot of sewing going on in the Bachelorette Caves, and I now have two new tunics and two pairs of pants to go with sturdy fur-lined boots.
Come, Rahash says, tugging me away gently. We are leaving early in the morning.
With one last round of hugs, I say goodbye for now and head off with my mate. It's not like we're leaving forever. We're actually just leaving for a week before we return again. But it's a change, and we humans have had so much change recently that I don't blame the other girls when they get teary-eyed at the thought of me going. I'm not sad, though. I can't wait to spend time with my mate. I can't wait to be alone with him and lick all of his skin until he's pulling my hair. Totally weird, but I'm into the hair pulling. Unfortunately, my horniness is thwarted by the Hunter Cave. We're staying here tonight, and every night that we're back with the group. I thought it would be, gosh, I don't know, empty? Private? Something? It's literally a row of pallets with zero privacy. The cave is small and light on possessions, and most of the unmated young males live here. Rahash introduces me to them. Aravin, Taushen, Kashel, and my best buddy Hayden, who scowls at the sight of me. Then Rahash and I set our packs down and curl up in the last bed, which has been left for us since Zelaya recently moved out with Ariana. This is part of our punishment, I know. Basically, we're in public sleeping quarters until the exile is up. And it sucks. Because I have been days and days without my Rahash, and I want nothing more than to sex him into next week. And we have zero privacy. He lies down next to me and pulls the blankets tight around us, then drapes an arm protectively around me. My cootie starts purring, and I hear Rahash's pick up the song and continue it. One of the men snorts, gets up, and leaves the cave. Well, at least one is gone. That only leaves three others besides us. I sigh. I'm lying on my side facing him because I just want to gaze at him all night. I trace each of his scars with my fingers and let my hands skim along his horns until he finally catches my palm and kisses the center of it.
Stop, or I will take you here in front of the others,
he murmurs, and his hips push against mine. I can feel his erection hard and insistent against my body, and I want him. Fucking cave full of fucking hunter dudes. I thrum harder and my hand moves to his chest. I love touching him. I'm almost to the point where I don't care if he takes me in front of the others or not, as long as he takes me and takes me good. But then one of the men sighs and rolls over in his bed, and I get an idea. Oh, Rahash, I moan loudly. Do that thing with your tail again. My mate's eyes widen in shock, and I have to bite back my laugh. Somewhere off to the side, another man mutters something in alien and then leaves the cave, followed by another. There's just one other than us left, and I bet I can scare him off, too. Just like that, I cry out, even though Rahash is staring at me with horror. Do me like that with your nasty tail.
Rahash's hand clamps over my mouth to silence me, but it works. Another person gets up from his bed, and I look over Rahash's shoulder to see Hayden shoot me a glare before leaving the cave. Then, it's just the two of us.
"You are full of mischief lately,"
Rahash murmurs and pulls me against him to nibble on my neck.
"Now they are going to ask me what it is I do with my tail every time they see me."
"You have a good imagination," I tease him. "Use it."
"I don't need imagination."
His voice takes on a growly note.
"I have hands."
He pushes me onto my back and goes to my pants, jerking them down around my hips. I eagerly undo the laces, desperate to have him with me, to be naked with him. The moment they fall loose, I kick them down my legs and then toss them aside. Next goes my tunic, and under the furs, Rahash is removing his own breechcloth as quickly as possible. My cooties singing up a storm. He puts a hand on my breast and rubs his thumb over my nipple, and I moan.
"My Liz,"
he breathes.
"My mate."
And then something flicks up and down over my pussy. I gasp and look down. His tail.
"You said to use my imagination,"
he murmurs, and slides his hand down to my folds. His fingers part them, and his tail glides up and down through my slickness.
"Is that all you want me to use?"
God, no. I reach down and cup his cock while he uses his tail to tease my clit. "I want you to use this most of all." He groans and moves over me, his heavy weight a welcome sensation. Fuck foreplay. I want him in me fast and hard and now. As he pushes my legs open and kisses me, I remember what Georgie said about blowing his mind. I put a hand on his chest to stop him. "Hey, baby, I have an idea." Rahash rears back and gives me a puzzled look.
"What is it?"
"I want you to do me from behind." He tilts his head so comically I almost giggle.
"But your tail."
"Doesn't exist," I point out, and trace one finger around his nipple. "Humans do this sort of thing all the time. You can just flip me over and push into me, and..." No sooner do I say the words than his big hands are turning me over, and then my ass is in the air. I giggle even as I get on my hands and knees. Not going to be hard to drag Rahash to the dark side, I see. His hand smooths over my ass, and I give a soft sigh of pleasure and close my eyes. That feels good.
"You are so... bare."
The big hand moves over my butt, and his fingers trail down the cleft.
"It's...
sinful," I offer, feeling rather wicked myself.
"Beautiful."
"Aw." I start to make a comment about a sweet choice of words, but then his fingers glide between my legs and stroke into me from behind. My entire body jolts and I gasp. Jesus, that feels entirely too good.
"Are you wet enough to take me?"
he asks, and his fingers stroke in and out. I'm so wet that I can hear his fingers moving, and I nod in response. An excited gasp builds when he pushes the head of his cock against my entrance, and I lean forward, bracing myself. "Please," I tell him, "now." I feel like I've waited forever for my lover. He pushes into me and I cry out because it feels so amazing. Inch by delicious inch, he works his cock into me and I wiggle and push back against him, determined to speed things along. Just when I think I can take no more of him and feel stretched to my limits, something nudges against my ass and prods. Oh, God. That has to be his spur. And there aren't words for how good it feels. My fingers dig into the furs and I cry out again. Rahash hushes me, but then he pulls back and thrusts again, and I'm unable to keep my cries to myself. With every stroke of his cock into me, the spur presses and penetrates into my ass, just enough to drive me insane with lust. It's not long before I come, and I come hard, crying out his name. Every muscle in my body locks down around him, and his fingers dig into my hips. He thrusts wildly into me, and then he's coming too. With a happy little sigh, I reach backward and hold on to him as he rolls our locked bodies onto our sides. He presses kisses onto my neck and shoulder, and I wiggle against him, because I feel weirdly aroused that his cock and spur are sunk into me. I'm tired, my knees are weak, and I'm breathing hard, but I'm also ready for round two.
I think you must learn to be quieter if we're going to be in this cave, my mate.
Rahash tells me.
Your shouting likely woke up all the kits on the other side of the caves.
Fuck 'em, I say, dopey with pleasure. They want us to be quieter, they'll get us a cave of our own. Because that doggy style? Whoa. Mind blown.
We must finish our exile first.
Rahash nips at my shoulder.
Are you sure you wish to do this, Liz?
Bleary with endorphins, I run a hand through his hair as he caresses my breasts. Doggy style? I dug it. A lot.
No, leaving with me, sharing my exile.
What a silly question. 100%. There's nothing for me here if you're not here.
It'll be hard work. We have many more mouths to feed with the expansion of the tribe. We will hunt non-stop until it gets too cold to leave the caves.
Then we'll hunt non-stop, I tell him. I like hunting. His hand moves to my belly and traces over it. I'm still flat, and probably will be for quite some time if this 3-year pregnancy thing is legit.
It will be easier for you to stay here.
I shake my head. Do you not understand, Rahash? You're my life. You're my reason for living. When those aliens took us away from everything, I felt lost. I'm not lost when I'm with you. I'm happy. I touch his cheek. I'm complete.
My mate,
he murmurs.
My Liz. My everything.
All yours, I tell him. And it's the truth. As long as I'm with Rahash, the world can snow all it wants, the tribe can pile all the work they want on us, and we can sleep in the hunter caves. As long as I'm with him, I'm happy. This concludes Barbarian Alien by Ruby Dixon, narrated by Holly Jackson and Mason Lloyd. Copyright 2015 by Ruby Dixon. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Ruby Dixon, care of Root Literary, and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.